Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Let's bring in our good friend, Buster Only. Buster, it's Michael and Peter. Do you have any good news? Can you give us anything to hang our hat on with baseball?
No.
All right, then.
It does. Yeah, it feels like it's a game of chicken, and they're both driving toward the ledge, and they keep on looking over the shoulder to see if the other one's going to stop. It's astonishing. It's shocking that we've got to this point. The lack of dialogue, not only in the last 2 months, but the last 7 years, has been appalling. And I really hope that whenever this ends, that the two sides really take a hard look at themselves and ask the question, how did we get to this point where we can't even talk, where we can't even get into a room on a consistent basis and have a dialogue and make assessments and make the necessary changes? I mean, think about it. They haven't even addressed the central issue that's still unresolved. Like, they have all these, smaller ancillary issues that they're touching on, and they're only moving incrementally this week, and they're not even talking about the competitive balance tax. And the way this has gone this week, it's almost like, you had two sides say, we're going to meet at the 50-yard line on a football field, and one side's moved to the 3-yard line, it's moving toward the 50, and the other side moved to the 4-yard line, moving toward the 50. It's a joke.
The thing that worries me, Buster, as you said, they're playing a high-stakes game of chicken. So I don't know who's the most likely to blink, and, just reading the tea leaves, I don't know if you agree, I can't pick the blinker in this fight.
I actually think that the players at some point are going to get routed, and it's going to get ugly. A couple things about that. Think of this like and I'm sure I've used this with you before, like a neighborhood poker game. You've got one neighbor with $100 pile of chips. That would be the players, and the other neighbor has $1 million pile of chips. In the end, it's the owners that have the financial strength. On top of that, and I've heard this from, people on both sides of the aisle, players, agents, and people on management side. The owners don't want to miss games. Rob Manfred has talked about it being disastrous. You and I both know that if the owners are going to lose any part of the season, what's the part they're okay with?
April
and May.
Yep.
And they opening day. There's going to be an opening day, whether that's in June or April. And so if there's a portion of the schedule they're okay, throwing away in order to get a better labor deal, it would be early in the season. And on the other hand, I also think there's a segment of the owner's side that have grown so frustrated with this relationship. And whether or not you think that's justified, that's a whole other argument. But there are a group of owners who are like, you know what? You want to have nuclear war? Let's go. And feeling like that at the back end of that, potentially you have regime change.
I was talking to some people today. I wonder if you think there's any validity to it. This is a multi-pronged thing that's going on, because there's some teams that would want some of the things that the players say, and there's other teams that won't have no part of it. But I was told today that there are 29 teams that want to be able to put some guardrails on Steve Cohen because they got scared of what he did right before the lockout, where he just spent what he had to spend. I mean, that's his advantage, his money. I don't blame him. But that's why they're proposing even more stringent punishments in the competitive balance tax. Are you hearing that, Cohen's spending ways right before the lockout could drive this as well?
I think that's one of the factors. I mean, let's face it, the sport as a whole was generally moving in that direction anyway. You've got, owners like Hal Steinbrenner, who has demonstrated he's okay with being curbed and having those guardrails in place and feeling like that he can be competitive either way. It's not like he's out there screaming, what are you kidding? you know, we ought to be able to have a $350 million payroll. John Henry of the Red Sox is the same way. You don't see the Dodgers out there going nuts. You know, they actually got under this competitive balance tax. And so I think all the big market teams are okay with this. And so, yeah, a lot of the conversation now is about Steve Cohen, and I think the other teams have gotten more at peace with this because they know if you're the Yankees, if you're the Dodgers, you're the Red Sox, your ability to make money is going to grow if you agree to these guardrails.
Do you believe that the plan all along was that the players wanted to hit a home run when they should have been happy with a single, and the fact that they're looking to make up for the beatings they took in the last two CBAs, that's why they're dug in and trying to get so much?
I totally agree with that. And it's why, you know, the fact that they did not do a hard internal assessment after they got routed in 2016, I think sets up the context for where we are today. And look, I really feel like in this moment, it's the owners who need to take that big step toward the 50-yard line, because they've got the bigger pile of chips, because they have more of the financial landscape, especially gains since 2016. But the players, after they got killed, they didn't really make any huge changes. You know, they brought in Bruce Meyer, but besides that, it's not like they, you know, decided, hey, we're going to develop this whole other analytics wing. We're going to engage more. We're going to have talks. They essentially used the same strategy in this round of talks that they did in 16, which is, non-engagement, stay in our bunker, don't get into horse trading in 2017, 2018. And so I think you're 100% right what they've set up. It's kind of a classic Scott Boras tactic where you, here's our demands and we're just going to sit on these to the end. And I think from the player's perspective, it would have been a lot more lucrative, a lot more productive if they'd been having dialogue all along and been willing to trade for, you know, say in 2021, expanded playoffs, in order to trade, you know, players going along with on-field initiatives like keeping hitters in the box. But they didn't do that. You're 100% right. They didn't take these, you know, opportunities for singles, and this is another one, and they are swinging for a home run. And I think the scary part for the players is they're putting a lot at risk by doing this, because if they do go into the situation where the owners go nuclear on them, they will lose. And it's only a matter of time because the owners have the bigger pile of chips.
What would you say, Buster, is like the Cliff Note version of how you, not even Cliff Note, like how would you sum up? They bring you on the nightly news tonight instead of baseball tonight. And David Muir or Lester Holt is asking you, what is exactly going on here? How would you, in a nutshell, describe what the problem is as to why we might not get baseball?
And I think we talked about 2016, the players losing so much financial ground. This CBA talk is a fight for a lot of that financial landscape back. That's what it comes down to. And they don't want to get 10%. They don't want to get 15%. They want to take a huge portion back, and they want a lot of that money to go to the younger players in the middle class, you know, the two groups that have gotten gouged. Here's the sad part, Peter, is that if we get a settlement, okay, in the next week or so, if the players wind up waving the white flag like it did in 2016 and they make a deal, the middle class of the players are going to get destroyed once the transactions start again. Guys like Anthony Rizzo won't get near the deals they would have gotten if there had been an agreement on December 1st.
And you know what's really I mean, there's a lot of distressing things about, I mean, we don't just work in baseball. We both love the game. You know, this game needs some changing. They need some rules changing. And that's not even going to be brought up because there's so many other things with the money that just supersedes the rules. And the rules are important for the growth of the game. They've got to change things, Buster.
100%. You know, early this week I was down in Nashville and I was talking with a bunch of major leaguers who work out there. You know, Mike Yastrzemski, Kurt Casale, Tony Kemp, other guys were there. And that was a lot of the conversation. Like, we need to grow the game. We need to move forward. Well, here's the thing that's really scary about this ugly negotiation. You know, if in fact, you know, they make a deal, one side, both sides are bitter about it, they hold their noses, they walk away, it doesn't help the sport from 30,000 feet. I mentioned, I think in the end, the owners are going to slam dunk on the players because they do have the greater power, but that's not good for the sport. Right.
Right,
Michael, we saw that in 2016. The owners won, and guess what? Everybody lost. the sport lost because they're not moving forward at a time when the game is in a really fragile state and they need progressive change. They need progressive thought. The two sides collaborating because they both own the product. And given the relationship between the two sides, even if they get a CBA in the next 72, 96 hours, that's not going to happen, which is why, again, I really hope that both sides, after this is over, go back and say, you know what? We just need to start from scratch, wipe out the groups, and see how we can rebuild a productive relationship.
See, that's the problem, Buster, because both sides wants to crush the other side, and the side that does the crushing, the other side is just going to be mad at them for the next 5 years.
That's exactly right, which is, again, why I feel like in this moment it's the owners who gained so much financial ground the last time that need to take a step forward. And what I'm concerned about is that this incrementalism, you know, the baseball via everything being analyzed, is taken over where, maybe it made some financial sense to reduce the sport by 42 minor league teams, but big picture, it doesn't make sense. So many of these things that they're aiming for, so much of it feels penny wise and pound foolish and horrific for a sport that really needs help right now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You have any scuttlebutt, Buster, other than like the negotiations right now? Anything going on that's interesting to you?
Yeah, so I've spent a lot of time in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, talking to people within the industry and saying, okay, what's going to happen if, in fact, we get a deal? You know, what are the big moves that are going to happen once the gun goes off? And, you know, we know Carlos Correa. You know, Trevor Story, the two top shortstops. We're going to see the Oakland Athletics make a rash of deals. The perception in the industry is they are ready to go. You know, Matt Olson, Matt Chapman are going to be moving. This was the most interesting thing that I heard. There's a perception in the industry that Freddie Freeman is not going back to the Braves. Last summer, there was a, you know, that was assumed, like, yeah, eventually he'll go back there. Now they don't believe that. And here's an interesting thing. One of the teams that checked in on the Freddie Freeman availability before December 2nd were the Mets. And it's very interesting because you just talked about Steve Cohen saying, you know what, I don't care what the CBT is, unlike the Red Sox, Yankees, and Dodgers. I'm just going to spend what I think I need to spend in order to win. And, you know, if he blows past $300 million, it really doesn't matter at this point. Freddie Freeman on that team, wow. And you know, Pete Alonso, I know, believes he's a first baseman. You know, you talk to evaluators of the teams, they really feel like he might be better suited at DH. If you're the Mets and you want to upgrade in two different ways, that would be one way to go, because that would be one player I'm sure Pete would go, well, if you're getting Freddie Freeman, then I'll do what you need to do. But that would be a significant change.
See, that makes a little bit more sense to me than the rumors about the Yankees with Freeman, because if Freeman's turning down a five-year offer from the Braves, why would the Yankees give a 32-year-old 6 years when they still have to deal with Aaron Judge?
Totally agree with you, and it's why I don't think in the end the Yankees get him, because we talked about, you know, Hal Steinbrenner has demonstrated he's okay with these CBT levels. He'll put the curb on the spending. Which is why I think if Freddie leaves the Braves, I think it's most likely he goes to the Dodgers, his home state, on a shorter term, you know, 4 years, $130 million type deal. The Dodgers don't believe in big long-term deals, but some of the other teams that checked in on him before December 2nd included the Blue Jays and the Mets. And again, once you're, if you're Steve Cohen and you have, you know, bet a lot of your chips for 2022, what the heck? I mean, you know, keep going, keep adding money. And there's no question. I mean, Freddie on that team, and I don't know if you agree with me, Michael, but I've gotten to know him working on an E60 and some other parts. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to know Freddie at all. He reminds me so much of Paul O'Neill in that he, wow. You know, what really pushes him is his person, his internal drive. So coming to New York for him would not be an adjustment, same as it wasn't for Paul O'Neill, because how he's pushed is, you know, through his own ambition, his own motivation.
Yeah, but then I've got another question for you. What are the Braves doing? I mean, this is a franchise icon. He just won a World Series. You're gonna cut him off because he wants an extra year? Isn't the extra year like pretty much commensurate to a gold watch? Why are they putting the line in the sand there?
It's shocking. I will say this. You know, their history is that whether it's Chipper Jones or Tom Glavine or you know, the John Smoltz, their perspective is that those guys should take hometown discounts. I 100% agree with you. I think the Braves, you know, when so many teams struggled to draw last year, the Braves finished second in the big leagues in attendance. They make it all the way through the postseason. They make big money. They've got Ronald Acuña Jr. on this crazy team-friendly contract, you know, 10 years, $100 million for a guy who right now would probably get about $350 million, and yet they're not carving out the space for Freddie. I mean, who knows? They, you know, once the gun goes off and they have transactions, maybe the Braves change their perspective and they say, okay, white flag, we'll give you that extra year. But the perspective of a lot of people I talk to is they feel like the Braves are not going to do that.
Here's the one upside with this whole labor strife, because at some point, Buster, there's going to be baseball again. And when they finally settle, it's going to be the greatest week before they report to spring training, because the 300 free agents, all the deals that are going to be made, it's going to be like the NBA trade deadline or the NBA free agent deadline, same thing with the NFL. It's going to be something that baseball is going to really benefit from.
There are going to be about 10 to 15 player transactions a day. It is going to be head spinning. We're all going to be exhausted by the time we get to the opening day. It will be fun, and it'll be something that we'll all need after this labor situation.
Great stuff, Buster. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Buster Olney. We'll come back. You heard what he said. Let's take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. And then Peter has a big ENN coming up as well. It's Kay, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.